Today we're building something that sounds simple on the surface, but is actually one of the most powerful ways to make old-school DNB brakes feel alive in Ableton Live 12. We're not just looping a brake, we're turning it into a glued, evolving brake roll that can carry a full 8, 16, or even 32 bar section without sounding copy-pasted or flat. The real trick here is using macro controls creatively, so one rack can handle tone, dirt, density, space, width, and fill movement all at once. That means you can automate the feel of the brake instead of drawing a million separate edits. And in DNB, that matters a lot, because if the brake is too static, the groove dies. If it's too messy, the bass gets crowded. So the goal is balance, energy, but controlled energy. First, start with a strong brake source. An amen, a funk brake, or any raw old-school loop with nice ghost notes and room tone will work great. The source is everything here. If the brake already has character, your automation has something musical to work with. Drop the brake into an audio track and warp it carefully. For this style, keep it conservative. Use beats mode, preserve the transients, and don't stretch it too hard. If the brake starts losing its snap, that's usually a sign to pick a better source or resample at the right tempo instead of forcing it. Now here's a smart advanced move. Make a few versions of the same brake. Keep one full range version, one high pass top layer, and one crushed or dirty version. This gives you material to build a layered rack, which is where the glue really starts to happen. Next, slice the brake to a new MIDI track and put those slices into a drum rack. You can let Ableton detect the main transients, then clean up the slices manually. The important thing is to separate the musical roles of the brake. Kicks should not be fighting ghost hats, and tail fragments should not be clogging the main hits. Build your MIDI pattern like a real DNB phrase, not just a copied loop. Let the snare act as the anchor. Add ghost notes around it. Use little push hits before the main accents. Add small fill at the end of the bar. Keep it moving, but don't overfill every space. Old school rolls feel good because they imply momentum. Now we start layering. Inside the drum rack, add at least two or three layers. One chain can hold the original brake slices. Another can be a transient enhanced, high-passed version. A third can be a crushed or saturated layer for density. The important thing is that these layers should feel like one instrument, not three separate samples stacked randomly. This is a great place to think in terms of crossfading, not just boosting. As one layer gets brighter or dirtier, another can talk back slightly. That kind of movement is what makes the brake feel like it's transforming, instead of just getting louder. Now map your macros with intention. Don't give each knob a random job. Each one should do something musical. For example, you might use one macro for roll density, one for snap, one for dirt, one for tone, one for space, one for width, one for glue, and one for fill throw. That gives you control over the brake's energy, its brightness, its stereo feel, and its transition moments. A really strong move is to map one macro to more than one device at the same time. For example, your dirt macro can increase drive on drum boss and saturator together. That way, when you automate it, the brake gets more urgent in a natural way instead of just turning into harsh distortion. Put drum bus on the group first. This is one of the fastest ways to make old-school drums feel heavier without destroying the vibe. Keep the settings subtle at first. A little drive, a little crunch, maybe a touch of boom if the brake needs body. Then add saturator after it for controlled grit. The reason this works so well is that you're building harmonic density in a musical way. As the phrase develops, the brake feels more intense, but it still sounds like the same break. Next, use auto filter to create phrase movement. Map a tone macro to the filter cutoff and automate it over 4/8 bars. Start darker, open up gradually, and let the top end bloom as the section builds. That's a classic DNB move because it creates tension without overcrowding the rhythm. And here's a good teacher tip. Treat the snare as your anchor. If the roll starts to feel vague, check your automation against the snare hits. Most of the excitement should happen around the snare, while the kick and ghost material stay more stable. That keeps the groove readable even when the break is getting more animated. Now for fills and transition moments. Don't overprogram 10 different fills by hand. Use automation to create them. Your fill throw macro can bring in a delayed tail, a reverse hit, a little extra reverb, or a quick boost to the top layer at the end of a phrase. Use that only on the last quarter bar or the last hit of a section. That way the fill feels intentional, not noisy. This is where you can really make the arrangement breathe. Instead of constantly adding energy, sometimes the strongest move is to pull it back for a beat or two. Releasing energy right before a drop can make the next hit feel much bigger. After that, glue the whole thing with parallel processing. A parallel crush chain with glue compressor, saturator, and maybe a high-pass EQ can add consistency and punch. Blend it in lightly. You want cohesion, not smashed transients. Then check your width and mono discipline. Keep the low end of the brake tight and centered. Let the top layer have a little stereo movement if needed, but don't smear the low mids all over the stereo field. That's especially important if your bass line is a Reese or a Nero style growl, because the drums and bass need to share space without fighting. Now move into arrangement view and automate the macros over the whole section. This is where the rack becomes a real production tool instead of just a cool sound design toy. For example, you might automate density over 4 bars so the roll gradually gets busier. Open tone before the drop. Add small pulses of dirt in the busier moments. Bring in more glue in sections where you want the drums to feel tighter. Use fill throw only at the ends of phrases. Try thinking in phrase lengths, not just beat by beat changes. In DNB, smooth ramps are often more effective than constant tiny motion. A 4-bar rise, a 1-bar peak, and a brief release can feel way more powerful than endless random automation. If you want a really solid structure, try a shape like this. 2 bars filtered and restrained, 2 bars with rising density, 1 bar of maximum movement, then a short impact or pause before the drop returns. That gives your break an actual role in the arrangement. It's not just filling space. It's telling the listener where the track is going. Once you've got a version that feels right, resample it. Print a few bars to audio. This is huge because it gives you a committed version of the roll that you can chop, reverse, edit, or use as a transition layer. Keep the live rack too, because that gives you flexibility later. But the printed version can help you lock in the arrangement faster. A really effective workflow is to keep both. Use the live rack for evolving sections, and the printed audio for more definitive transitions. That hybrid approach is very common in serious DNB sessions because it balances speed, control, and finality. A few things to avoid. Don't overprocess the break before the groove is working. Don't make every macro do everything. Don't let the low end fight the bass line. Don't make your automation too fast unless you're doing a deliberate fill. And don't drown the break in reverb, because that will blur the snare punch and kill the roll. If you want this to hit even harder in darker DNB, drive the midrange, not the sub. Use saturation and drum bus to add crack and grit around the snare and hats, while keeping the bottom clean. A tiny bit of degradation on the top layer can also give you that classic sampled feel without wrecking the impact. So the big idea here is simple. Build one break rack, then use macros to automate the energy of the phrase. Think tone, dirt, density, space, width, and fills as one musical system. If you can make the break go from dusty and open to tight and aggressive with just a few carefully mapped macros, you've got a serious drum and bass arrangement tool. That's the real power of this technique. It works in jungle, rollers, darker bass music, and neuro-influenced drops. And once you feel how the break can evolve without losing its identity, you'll start hearing automation as part of the groove itself. For your practice, build a 4-bar break roll with just a few macros. Keep it simple. Make it evolve. Then compare the live rack to a rendered bounce, and listen for whether the break still feels alive when printed. If it does, you're on the right path. Now go make that break roll breathe, move, and hit like it means it.